I learned that Las Vegas Razor Bass Menachem Monish. Tonight we're going to try to see if we can accomplish one sugya in one night. It'd be a big feat if we can pull it off. So we're going to try. It's not so many my requirements, and Mitzvah will try our hardest to accomplish it. I want to talk about an interesting shaila. Now, very often we were told as kids, and my wife still tells it to my kids today, you're not allowed to sit on a table because the table is like a mizbeach. Is that really true? Does that really mean that you're supposed to treat your table the same way you would the mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash? Does our table have that much kedusha? Well, it might make a difference. We'll see. It might make a difference. So this phrase that we're all familiar with and we've all heard, you can't sit on the table because the table's like a mizbeach. Is that true? Does it have any halachic significance? And to what degree? Every table, certain tables, what exactly is the rule? So let's see first if there's any truth to this idea. So let's start off like this. There is a Gemara. The Gemara in Brachos number one. The Gemara tells us, Vayidaber Eli el ha-shulchan asher, Vayidaber Eli, zeh ha-shulchan asher lefnei Hashem. Pasach b'mizbeach b'sayim b'shulchan Rabbi Yechon Rabbi Lezer HaMtevayu, kol zman shai b'yitzim b'yidish kayim, as long as the Beis HaMikdash was around, mizbeach mechap al Yisrael. What used to atone, how would the Jewish people get slicha? That was through the mizbeach. Va'achshav shulchonei shel Adam mischapero. This is the key phrase that everyone knows about, that the table today is going to give us our kapara. When there used to be a Beis HaMikdash, we'd get slicha v'kapara from the mizbeach. Now says the Gemara, the mizbeach shel Adam mechapero lo. Now, what does that mean? Mizbeach shel Adam mechapero. Very unclear. We'll have to maybe the last maromakim on the sheet actually will come back to this idea. But the Gemara has this catchphrase that the mizbeach shel Adam mechapero lo, that the table of a person gives him kapara. So if you look over here, let's see. So this is the famous Gemara that everyone knows that there's some connection between the Mizbeach and the table. Now, what is that connection and to how far do we connect it? So if you take a look over in the Beis Yosef and Siman Kuf Pei, he quotes over here from the Rekeach. He writes, Kasev Rekeach b'Siman Shulam b'Beis, Mechasin Sakin b'Shas Birch HaZamoz. We cover a knife. You ever have a knife left out during time of benching? You're supposed to cover the knife. Why? Al Shem Loisonif Alein Barzel. So one reason is because you don't want the mizbeach was not supposed to be cut with anything made of metal. Since the knives are usually made of metal, that's why we don't do it. Mechilta says, "Einu din she'enef mekatzer al amarich v'sholchan kimizbeach." Catchphrase: "V'sholchan kimizbeach." Since a metal knife would not go anywhere near the mizbeach, so you can't have a metal knife on your table. So we see lahalacha that there is some comparison between your shulchan and the mizbeach. At least b'shas berachas hamazon, right? You can have the knife on, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Then he quotes over here, and he quotes the Gemara in Chagiga. Now this Gemara is the same Gemara in Brachos. B'chein kasev Reb David Abu Jerham. B'chein kasev b'shabol yaleket. The kasev oid b'shabol yaleket ben bi'achover Reb Simcha. However, there's another reason why you shouldn't have a knife on the table, and this is the one more people are familiar with. What's that reason? Shamati tamache pamachas ayechem b'varach berachas hamazon. There was one time a person was benching k'shigil b'berachas b'ani Yerushalayim, and when he got to the bracha within Yerushalayim, v'nizkar korban habayis, and he realized, unfortunately, we don't have the Beis HaMikdash yet. So loka chasakim v'tokei b'bitnoi. He stuck himself in the stomach with the knife. He was so frustrated over the fact that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. He plunged the knife into his stomach. So someone once asked Reb Chaim Kanevsky, he said, well, what type of crazy people are we talking about? Chaim Kanevsky said, he's not the crazy person. We're the crazy people. We're so detached from what does it mean to have a Beis HaMikdash. We look at this guy as he's crazy. Says Reb Chaim Kanevsky, it's felt in us. We're lacking in our connection to Churban Beis HaMikdash. In any case, don't try it at home. We're definitely not suggesting that you should do that. But we definitely should feel a loss of the Beis HaMikdash. So says the Beis Yosef, they talk about it in Neval Cain, and that's why Nogul the Salkoi Beshaz Bracha. And that's why we cover. Now, this makes much more sense why Dafka doing benching. Because doing benching is when you're saying, Guvenei Yerushalayim, we're afraid you may stick it in. I was waiting for someone to say, well, what about doing Al Michya now? We spent the last 4 weeks talking about Al Michya. Al Michya is an abridged version of benching. So maybe you shouldn't have it during Al Michya either. Okay. I haven't yet seen such a chumrah. Okay. Either way. So it says the Beis Yosef, we now have two reasons on the books to why you're not supposed to have a knife on the table during benching. One reason is because shulchan doim el mizbeach. That's one reason. The second reason is because of this connection that we're supposed to feel to the binyan and to the lack of Beis HaMikdash. Now, what could be a possible nafkamina? Possibly the second reason doesn't hold to the first reason, which means the second pshat in the Beis Yosef doesn't buy into this narrative of shulchan doim el mizbeach, my table, my mizbeach have the same halachas, and therefore it's possibly this whole premise could be subjected to a machlokes b'shoyin. However, says the Beis Yosef,
one would be noheg b'smana bias, and one would not be noheg b'smana bias.
Okay, we're correct, right? According to the second reason, the Mitzvah Shem, the Beis HaMikdash is going to be rebuilt. What are you going to be worried about? Why would a guy plunge a knife into his stomach? Baruch Hashem. Tells the Beis HaMikdash. But the Beis Yosef says it's not Negeya. Ushnei time and made Tzuvim Baruch Haschaim. Both are brought down by the Aruch Haschaim. Milunil. Now he ends up something here that's not our sugya at all, but he continues. We don't cover the knife on Shabbos Yom Tov. And that's probably the most frequent time that you'll have a knife on the table anyways, is Shabbos Yom Tov, right? You have the challah board, the challah table, the challah knife. Says the Beis Yosef, don't worry, Shabbos, you can leave the knife out. Shaila is why. So he says, Lafi tam rib simcha. But if you go like Rib Simcha's reasoning, that it had to do with the Beis HaMikdash, ain't the chalik being Shabbos l'chol, you should not differentiate between Shabbos and l'chol. The Beis HaMikdash didn't get more rebuilt on Shabbos than it did on l'chol. Now, and what about according to the first reason? Why according to the first reason there are different Shabbos and l'chol? That's because you don't build on Shabbos. I don't know. Not sure. Okay, so we have two reasons. Now you'll tell me, what does that have to do with us? So the answer is because if you hold like the second reason of Rabbi Simcha, that the only reason why we don't have the knife on the table is not because Shulchan Daimon Bisbech. It's because of this guy who plunged it into his stomach. So maybe he doesn't believe at all that there's such a thing of Shulchan Daimon Bisbech. And therefore, you can't tell me that I can't put my feet up on the table, or I can't stand on a table, I can't sit on a table because Shulchan Daimon Bisbech, where we don't find it in Halach. If you look in Shulchan Aruch number 3, the Mechaber very clearly writes, we cover the knife during benching, but we don't cover it on Shabbat for Yom Tov. Some people remove it, right? Right. That makes it a lot easier if it's not on the table, right? Now the Shulchan Aruch, we know what the Shulchan Aruch holds because he quoted to us in the Beis Yosef, right? We cheated a little bit. We saw the Beis Yosef, but when the Shulchan Aruch writes over here that we cover the knife, he didn't give you which reason. Now he did tell you we don't do it on Shabbos, so that's a little bit of a giveaway. So if you look in the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham says it right away. Says the Magen Avraham. You know why you cover the? You know why you take away the knife? Because Shulchan Daim Mizbech. Or b'Mizbech, sitting by the Mizbech, it says Lo Sinif Aleim Barzel. Or b'Shabbos ain't bind b'Mizbech. Oh, and on Shabbos we don't do any building. V'Leker Remez L'Mizbech.
Getting depressed and stabbing.
Right, and the reason wouldn't make a difference, which is what the Beis Yosef said. Which means, according to the Magen Avraham, according to the Shulchan Aruch, the real reason. It's because Shulchan Daimon Mizbech. That's the real reason why we cover the knife. And that's why on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you don't have to cover the knife. Which means, according to the Magen Avraham, the Shulchan Aruch believes that there is a halachic similarity between your table and the Mizbech, to which we can at least start to have a discussion about standing or sitting on it. If you were to hold like Rabbeinu Simcha, that the whole knife has nothing to do whatsoever about the table being Mizbech, the knife has to do with the story about a guy who plunged it into his stomach, so you have no halachic source of Shulchan Daim al Mizbech. That's if you hold like the Magen Avraham. Okay. He said, you didn't do any building. Because that's the whole apostle. The significant embarrassment is when they were building it, you weren't allowed to build it with
no,
that.
You're not allowed to have bars on it anyway.
Yeah, but that, it was really talking about the binyan of it. That's what it was talking about.
But you're not, today, you know, I mean, if you had a, yeah,
you're
not allowed to bars on
it. Yeah, yeah, it was really in the binyan of it.
Hi, Rabbi.
And all that.
Yeah.
I don't know if you want to shut the recorder. Just realize I was in a restaurant. I didn't wash a bread. I forgot the bench. Should I run back? Let's see. If I wait here, sure, it's more than 72 minutes.
Good bench.
Hi, Rabbi.
Hey,
Rabbi,
hey, Moshe.
Is this whole Doma?
I tried to stay not the Paschal at all here. Yeah, Moshe, what's up?
Is Bech, why we use salt on the challah? That they use
salt. Oh, we're going to get to
that
right now. Very good, Moshe. We're going to try to look for another area in Halacha where we find Shulchan Daim Mizbech, and that's the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch number 5. Says the Ramah, when we call Makay Mitzvah Lahavia Kol Shulchan Melech, you're supposed to bring to every table salt, Koidim Sheyev Tzoyah, before you break into the bread. Why? And this is the key phrase, says the Ramah, Ki HaShulchan Daim Mizbech. So now we have a Ramah saying the magical words. Again, it's not the same context that we're discussing, but at least in a halachic setting, the Ramah says that you're supposed to bring salt to every meal when you break bread. Why? When you eat at the table, it's like eating from a carbon. And then it says in the pasuk, "I call carbonecha takriv melech," and every carbon there should be salt. Who make him in a perennius? It protects you from punishments. Okay, so now we have a Ramah on Shulchan Aruch. We have a clear-cut statement by the Ramon Shulchan Aruch that you're supposed to be sold to the table because of this phrase, Shulchan Daim L'Mizbech.
Because he brings down the reason why the guy stabbed himself. So on Shabbos, would make a different Shabbos so you have a weekday. You would still
correct. But the Magen Avraham doesn't go with that reason. Magen Avraham goes with the reason of Shulchan Daim L'Mizbech. So now we have two areas in Halacha where we have clear literature that Shulchan Daim L'Mizbech. Let's go to a third place. Let's extend it one more halacha. Magen Avraham, number six. Since we just got finished saying that the mizbeach is like the shulchan is like the mizbeach, lechin aser laharikina ala shulchan. You're not allowed to kill a bug on the table. You're sitting at your desk, you see a bug, and you slam it. You kill the bug on the table. The table's a desk. The table's not a desk.
The way you eat.
Did we, again, it has to be food? It's only have to eat there? We'll talk. So, okay, I'll make it even better. It's your kitchen table. Fine, your kitchen table, your dining table. A lot of people eat at the desk office also. I don't know what you define how often you eat. You know, today we eat everywhere. We eat all the time, Baruch Hashem. So, okay, we'll make it simple. I hear it's a good point. Let's keep it simple. Your dining table, that's right. It's standing. That's right. So, dining table, right? You see a bug and you kill the bug. That is us, says the Magen Avraham. That no one knows about. That's amazing. Everyone. No, assuming the bug's annoying you, you have a legitimate reason. But you can't kill it on the table. You have to, you know, knock it off the table and step on it on the ground. But if you kill it on the table, says the Magen Avraham, why? That's us. L'chein osir lahare kina l'shocha. Quotes from the Sefer Chassidim, which we'll talk about in a few minutes, authored by Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. Now, you'll tell me that this halacha is not like really halacha l'maisa, right? Mishnah Berurah brings it down. Number seven says, Mishnah Berurah, l'chein osir lahare kina l'shocha. You're not allowed to kill a table. You're not allowed to kill a bug on the table. Most likely something to do with that analysis, right? Again, we have this comparison that your shulchan is special. Now take a look in the Chashuk Echemet. The best shayles always are found in the Rebbe Zilberstein. What? Very good. You slaughtered animals. You didn't, but well, you. Yeah. So I was waiting for someone to ask the kasha. Right. We'll talk about this kasha. Right. We keep on saying you're not allowed to stand on a table. You know they stood on the mizbech, right? I wasn't the kohen to get up there, right? And so we'll see. It's a kasha. We're going to talk about it. So let's see. So the Chashuk Yechemet talks about this question. He says, he writes, very often in the summer, this is very true, especially if you're eating outside, picnic, and there's bugs flying around everywhere. So you go around killing the bugs, right? We've discussed in the past about killing bugs in Yom Tov. Sukkahs, this is very relevant, right? You're in the sukkah and the bugs are coming around. So on Yom Tov, maybe you can even kill the bugs on Yom Tov. Says Zelberstein, Shenochas Yitosh ala Shulchan. A bug flies on it, lands on the table. The Mahal Chasuda, the Yeshla Stapik. Ha'im Mutu Lahor Gaide Sheitin Olav Mak. Can you hit it? Kishoim ala Shulchan. What's the Shalok? Kishamitra Shalohi Limnoich Shasha Yitosh Yichnas Toich Amach. What's your agenda over here? It's not the time you eat bugs. You don't want to get into the food. That's a legitimate concern. You don't want people eating bugs. So if you kill the bug right now, you'll stop someone for getting into the food. Says Zilberstein, I don't know. We have a tough shiloh over here. On one hand, you're not allowed to kill bugs on the table because the table's daim l'mizbech. On the other hand, that can't be more important than someone eating a bug. So how do you balance the two things out? So tshuva, his response is, im yesh tsoirich lahargis yitush, if you think there's a need to kill the bug, fly, amenash l'yichnas l'teich amachol, so to prevent it from getting into the food, the ein derech acheris lahargoy. There's no other way to kill it. Ella al gabi l'shulchan. There's not like slamming it against the table. Mistavu shemutter. Paskins of Zilberstein. In that case, it wouldn't be permissible. The kivin sheish tzarich b'zev emeila ein b'zoyin l'shulchan. Since there's a need, there's a pressing reason for it. It doesn't constitute b'zoyin l'shulchan. And he says v'gisi my brother-in-law going to b'chaim Kinevsky shlita. Unfortunately, now zatzal heivin l'zev raya. He said my brother-in-law b'chaim Kinevsky brought a raya to this yisoid. If you're killing a bug on the table to prevent someone from eating it, it's mutter. It's not a breach of this Magen Avraham of killing bugs. Why? Mar says over there, he ran and he held onto the corners of the Mizbech. He killed him while holding onto Mizbech. That doesn't seem like the right place to kill people. That's the passing of this expression. You take him away. You don't kill him on the Mizbech. You take him away. So Zogtib Zilberstein Bechol Zeus, Asu Zeus, he still did it. Because he had to do it. If you see, you're allowed to kill, real kill on the Mizbech when there's a pressing reason. Definitely on your table, which is only a second level. It's only a second level, secondary comparison. So definitely take away, don't kill anyone on your dining room table. That's not a good idea either. That's for sure going to be, right? Don't kill anyone on your dining room table. No, definitely not, right? Because you can't kill a kina. You can't kill a bug. Don't kill a cat. Don't kill anyone on the dining room table.
That's what the carbon
is. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. You don't want people eating bugs. So Zobastain is a matter of this idea. But this halacha and people are not so makhu. People will kill a bug whenever they see one right away. They just squash it on the table. That is not right. That we definitely have halacha on. Magen Avraham from Sefer HaChassidim. Then on that we apply the rule Shulchan de Mizbech, and you should not go around killing things on the table.
It's really wrong because so Shlomo is the Melech, and you have to listen to what the Melech says. So he said, "Well, kill him." So we're going to find him. We're going to kill him.
That might be what he meant in Tzairich, you know. So Akoponim, we have some significance in halacha about the table. No one yet talked about sitting or standing. Comes along.
What should be the difference between, let's say, the bug on the table versus, let's say, if it would be on Shabbos? Let's say you have the bug and you take a cup and instead of doing sud, you keep it partially open and you like halacha, drag it off. Why don't we do that during the week?
He said you should try to do it. It's not always so effective. Sometimes the bug gets away. Again, you should try. According to the Zelbustin, if you could do it that way, it's better to do it that way than killing it just like that. You could try. Good luck. You could definitely try that way. So where is one of the earliest places that we talk about sitting and standing on the table? It appears in the Sefer HaChassidim. The Sefer HaChassidim was written by Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. The Chassid lived in the 1100s, in the 1200s. He got that title Chassid not because of the Hasidic movement. That didn't happen for another 500 years. You know. Yeah, right. So we've discussed many times Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid's list of chumras and stringencies, whatever different things he had for him, for his family. A lot of interesting things comes from Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. So here he writes the following. Yelad echad omad lifsoy ala shulchan. One child stood to jump over on a table. It was a table. It tells you what type of table it was. It was a table where the boy's father frequently left svarim on. And it was designated for svarim. It was a svarim table. And also, when the father would have his breakfast, he would eat at this. It was like his study table. He would learn. There was always svarim on the table. And he would take the svarim from the table until he ate. This kid went on that table, oisa table. The yara, the nechtach kaf ragle besakim. His leg got cut with a knife. Something bad happened to the kid. The father said, "Pishi garem, my fault. This is all my fault." Sheinachti libi lefsoy al hashochen sheoyu olav svarim. I allowed my son to jump, to step over a table that has svarim.
Svarim is not a knife.
Oh, so what do you sound from the Sefer HaChassidim? Doesn't say anything about eating. Sounds like svarim. Kedushas ha-svarim. And you shouldn't stand on a table with a svarim. That we all know, that they taught us in the third grade. Shouldn't stand on a table that has svarim. So that sounds a little bit like this Sefer HaChassidim. Or if it's used for svarim, it frequently has svarim, we'll have to get a little bit clear. Right. So eating was only like agav. It happened to be the table that the father would also eat on sometime. It doesn't sound like the deciding factor is eating. So if you look in the Yosef Oymitz, in Yosef Yuspa, 1600s, he writes, also lo hashiv, you're not allowed to sit, a lahamid hatinuk al hashtender, or to sit a child on a shtender, sheme simen olav magzorim utfilos, sheme yulch luptusha. Can't sit on a table that is miyached for sidurim. The custom of Beloza Mimins, Oysen Asaf Solim, Shemeshiv Aleim, the Orim, the basic Nesses, those kids, those Saf Solim, that the benches that they sit on, Shemeshiv Aleim, the Orim, the basic Nesses, Shein Abailim Rashaim Lachs, the Odichon Batem Leshav Aleim, Avopi Shinoisen Acheri Matovim and Tachteim, English Noisen Mikdushosim. Okay? It's not what I need this line. Vamachmet of Abrachava, Filu Allah Shochan Shoichlun Olof. Even if it's not a table of Svarim, it's just a table of food. Kasav the Sefer Chassidim Shas. Yeah, really? That's what the Sefer Chassidim said? The Yosef Oymit quotes the Sefer Chassidim as saying that if you have a table that's used just for food, you shouldn't sit on it. That's not what the Sefer Chassidim said. The Sefer Chassidim that we just read together was talking about a table that's predominantly used for svar. So if you look over in the Sefer Daf al Adaf from Sechas Brachas, he points this out. He says, but Sinu came to Sefer Chassidim Shikasa Deshakon Leisha Vala Shokhan Shemichel Svarm. Avoloyniska Sham Meshokhan Shaychon Allah. That Sefer HaChassidim that we started off, it sounded like that the problem was that the table was really more miyachet for svarim than it was for food. He just mentioned agav, and he'd eat his meals at the table also. But it sounded like in the Sefer HaChassidim that the ikur kavon on this table was because it was a table for svarim. He writes, Omnam, however, kimamar ha'olam, But the way the Velt says it over, Kasav came b'sefer Yosef Eimitz. The Kasav came b'shem b'sefer Chasidim. Mikomokim b'sefer Chasidim shalfanein olas. That's not what it says in our sefer Chasidim. If you look up the original source, that's why you can't trust anything quoted. You gotta look it up. If you look up the sefer Chasidim, it gives you the whole story. The way he tells you the story, it was really predominantly because of sefer of Svarim, not because of sefer that people, not because of the table that people ate on it. But nonetheless, the Yosef Eimitz quotes already that you're not supposed to sit on a table. The Sefer HaChassidim said not to sit on any table where people eat on. If you look at number 12, the Yosef Eimitz again, there's another Yosef Eimitz. He writes, B'simit tov, tov kuf chav beis kasa b'sefer HaChassidim. Yelid, omar ala shulchan shoy svarim tadir malov. A kid stood on a table that was used, that frequently had svarim on it. Rak b'shas achil ha'sa svarim. The only time he would take off the svarim was when he ate. V'nechtach regal ha'yelid ahu. The kid's foot got chopped off, cut, whatever. The father said, it's my fault that the kid got hurt because I let him stand on the table. This might be a stammer, so don't let kids stand on tables, all tables. It's just dangerous. Right? So here the Yosef HaYimitz makes the opposite deal. Before the Yosef HaYimitz told us that according to the Sefer HaChassidim, it's any table. Here it sounds like it's only a table that was miyachif and smart. The Sefer HaYir of the Rabbi Yonikosav. So again, he quotes both memories about the table. So here it sounds like it's almost a steer in the Yosef Eimitz. The first Yosef Eimitz assumed for Davar Pashut that the takeaway from the Sefer HaChassidim was any table that you eat on, you're not allowed to sit on it because of the story with the kid. The second Shtickle Yosef Eimitz, it sounds like the opposite. It sounds like it's only a table that was used for Svarim, a table in Shul, a table in a Beis Medrash, a table in your house that your mom's only used for learning. But your dining room table that you use for everything, that wouldn't apply. So we don't yet have a very clear-cut source that there is some halachic significance to sit on a table that's not miyachet for svar. Because the whole story of the Sefer HaChassidim was only talking about a table that was really used to svarim. It sounded like it was a breach in Kedushas HaSvarim more than it was in a breach in Kedushas HaShulchan. If you look in the Shulchan HaTayar, he writes...
Pick up on the fact that they only pick kino, which is a non-flying bug, as the iser.
As opposed to what?
Because it's easy.
Okay.
Just to
right, right.
That's the only bug that they pick.
Because that's the hardest one to, you know, that like the Yitush and the Kina, the other example, right? The bugs. Those things are hard to move away. I mean, another thing, you just take off the table.
Right, because it's easy to do.
Right. I think so.
Yes. Nobody's
talking. No.
Those are the ones against the food.
Right, that's all the ones against the food. Right. The other ones don't stare as much. So if you look in the Shulchan HaTorah, he writes, Kina la Shulchan, v'chein nochen shulayitin olav misra klal, v'chein lo yeshev, don't sit, do not stand on the table. Adults. Don't let your kids stand on tables. I also have a tradition. That's it. You have to treat it with an unbelievable amount of Kedusha. And then your table will protect you mikol ra from all evil. So take a look in the River Ephraim. Now we're getting into more recent Paiskim. So the River Ephraim writes a story about himself. He says, "Nichnasti levaker eitz alechad." That's right. You should get his uncle's book, Rav Nata Greenblatt. I started reading it halfway through. It's a fantastic book. It's an unbelievable book about it. Oh yeah, I don't know. I think it's unbelievable. It looks like art. I'm not the Greenblatt. Is I had the privilege to speak to him once, but unbelievable. I called him once. What a special, real amazing. Yeah. He was what he saw, who he saw, who he met. He had a bracha from Rev Cook. He had a bracha from Rev Cook that he should stay healthy. I think in the mid 90s, he said he only took Tylenol a couple times in his whole life because he had a bracha from Rev Cook that he should stay healthy. As a little kid, as young, he lived in Eretz when he was young. He got a bracha from Rav Cook to stay healthy. He said he came out and never got sick. And he lived into his 90s. And he ran around.
Oh.
He racked up millions of miles flying because he flew all over.
Flying? How about driving?
That was that. That was later, earlier years. So that's his uncle. This is Rav Nata is Rav Ephraim's uncle. The book is about Rav Nata. It's called Rav Nata. It's a great, great, great book. Great book. Great book. Either way. So Ephraim Greenblatt tells a story. Nichnasti levaker eitz alechad. I went to visit someone. Ve'ra'iti sheyoshev al ha'shulchan. I saw he was sitting on the table. Ve'zbarti, then I explained to him, shayoyim ha'shulchan deim l'mizbech. Like for Davar Pashut, we have this idea. Shulchan deim l'mizbech. Ba'al zeh makriv na karbonis. And that's what we bring our karbonis. While Ashochan summoned Sefer Luman on the table, now he mixed it over here. And on our tables where we put Svarim, the Ainzim and I cover the Sheves Allah. It's not right to sit on a table. The Shomali, the guy actually listened to me. The Yara, and he came down. The Nira, the Yeshlin, I covered Bishop. So obviously, Ephraim Grimet believes strongly in this principle that we've been discussing, that you really should not be sitting on tables, and tables should have significant amount of Kedusha.
Yeah, he said it's not covered.
Yeah, yeah. Because there's no clear cut Makar really for this concept.
So let's say you have a place for a workbench, you know, to see stores and stuff. You never eat there, you don't live there.
Yeah, I would think not. Again, I would think not. It has to be, it sounds like it's got to be used for one of the two. Either you eat on it or you learn on it, or you do nothing on it. I don't know. So take a look at another Rivers of Rhyme, Chelik Vov, a bunch of Chalokim later. He writes, the Rivers of Rhyme, Chelik Gimel Simitov, Pevevev Kasav, he wrote. So not to sit on the table. Okay, it's Mishalti, Miesh Makar. Now someone asked me, is there really a Makar for that? He says, Venisi, Oise, Atam, Shkazav. He said, I told you the reason. You asked me for a source, and I told you the source. The source is Shulchan Dem Mizbeach. Now that definitely deserves a follow up question, right? If we were there, we'd be like, okay, yeah, now what? Is there a source for that? But that was the conversation that he had. Then he writes, Vididi, Agoni, Bechil, Zilberberg, Shlit, the Kasavli, Bishiva, Allah Shulchan, Reisi, Bishulchan Atar. He quotes the Shulchan Atar that we quoted earlier. That goes through the whole idea. Well, he quotes it word for word. Then he writes, Adkan Lashani. Aye, then he has a kash. So he says, I found the Sefer. You want a Maran Rakam? I'll give you the Sefer. The Sefer is called the Shulchan Atar, which we quoted earlier. And then he has a kash. In fact, if I'm giving about the kash, V'hodim Acher, the Echa B'Simchas Torah, Ola L'Bima V'Rakid. Apparently, there was some practice that on Simchas Torah, people would stand on the Bima and dance. Aye, what happened to the Bima having Kedusha? Yitochen D'Tam Simcha Mutu. Maybe because of Simchas Torah, it's allowed. Avonira D'Yesh L'Shulchan Shalat Sefer Torah Kedusha. The bima that we put the sefer Torah in has kedusha. We know the rocket al bima. You shouldn't dance on the bima. I know a lot of people that they won't put hats on the bima, right? They won't put things like that on the bima. The bima has kedusha. It's not a dumping ground. It's not a hat rack. It's not a jacket rack. It's not a place to hang your things. A bima has intrinsic kedusha. That's already from what we're seeing over here. Then in the next page we have over here, they have some Chaim Kanievsky. Okay. That is a great question. That's what Chaim can ask. What is the source that you're not allowed to sit on the table? And is it even a table that you don't eat? The Shemati, the question asks, something to do with you're eating to get Kabul to serve Hashem. So that's why the table is like a Mizbeach, because it's spiritual. Shuva b'sifrei Kabbalah. Okay, Chaim Kanievsky's answer was it's found in Sifrei Kabbalah. He didn't tell us which one, who, what, nothing. Zogtim Chaim Kanievsky, it's found in Sifrei Kabbalah. Nothing, that's it. I was waiting, hoping, right? Nothing, Sifrei Kabbalah.
No.
That's correct, that's right. That's right. He's not. Oh, so let's look at the next line. So I dug up another tshuva from Chaim Kanievsky, right? The beauty is they would all day long ask Chaim Kanievsky's questions, and people made up on us instead of writing them down, right? You just got to find the right sefer that asks the right question. So over here, another sefer from Chaim Kanievsky called Skulas Rabbi Seinu. We're actually going to quote from this sefer a little bit more when we get into the future topic of Shluach HaKan. So he writes over here, that was a throw out for the future. Keep everyone posted. Same question. Is there any isser or reason not to sit on a table that's used for eating or for learning? Tshuva, yesh inyan. It is a thing. So we have two. We have Chaim Kanievsky saying it is a thing, and it's found in Sifrei Kabbalah. It doesn't really do much for us. But then on the footnote there, they write, so this fellow Tain is fakir. I think it's mutter to sit on the table. Why? Dumi demizbeach. Sha'allah v'haya kohanim holchim v'darchim. What did the kohanim used to do? They'd walk on the mizbeach. Omnam b'leinu olim. Okay, so maybe without shoes. But this whole idea that you can't stand on the table. Where does that come from? The tzarech kabbonis. Again, obviously that's be a reason why you're standing on the table. And then they went up on top, and they were up there. Then they were there. So his time is not a good riot. Why? She came in Mizbeach. You got no choice. And it's not normal to sit on tables. That's an abnormal. You're not going to walk into a business meeting and you watch all the guys sitting on the table. Yeshiva guys, Bachram do it, but they're not, business people don't do that. It's not the normal way to do it. So therefore, maybe it goes back to being done in Mizbeach. Because in the Mizbeach, it was Ef Sheh Binyan Achir. Then they ask Chaim Chesky another question. Sefer Doilu Mashke, number 18. Kosav Li Rabbeinu Shlita L'Inyan Yeshiva Al Shochet Shesh Mokam L'Aser. B'Din HaShochet Shom Mizbeach V'Tzorchiyin. Ha'im L'Fizet Tzorch Gam L'Izor Melenich Na'olam Al Shochet. Can you put your shoes on the table? That's also not so nice, but can you put your shoes on the table? You take your shoes and put them on top of the table. Is that a problem? Ulai, ulai. So we got so far from Chaim Kievsky about 5 or 6 words, and I'm still not convinced on anything yet. What exactly is usher? What's mutter? But maybe you shouldn't do it either.
Ulai is yes.
Ulai is possibly yes. Maybe. Maybe no. Maybe you should. That's the rules. I don't know the rules are. I can't say I study enough of the tshuvas that way, but ulai. But if you take a look over in the Sefer Birchas Yehuda. They bring an interesting kasha, which again, I can't say I'm familiar enough with, but they say by the chassidim, what they do is when they make a dais, but sometimes by the chassidim, they make it, truth is, a lot of places do this. What do you think they make the dais out of? Tables. They make it out of tables. When you have a big event, so how do you make a stage? Well, every stage, what's the stage? It's a bunch of tables. So how's that mutter? Why is that okay? Everyone's standing on tables. So, yeah, sure. So you have to clarify, is it no longer a table? Have you ever seen pictures of Melech Biderman dancing on tables? Lech Biderman does it all the time. He dances on tables. By the Chassidim, this is a pretty common thing to dance on tables. What happened to this whole sugya? Shulchadayim l'mizbeach. What? So they write over here. Umashe kosef shekin reinu binyanenu chassidim v'takifei di Yisrael sheyoshvim abomo. They sit on platforms. Shasuim mishulchanos at all the big stages at any big event. They put up all the Rosh Hashivas. Where do they sit them? On the stage that's made out of tables. So you'll tell me alumnus, it becomes bottle. It's no longer a shame shulchan. Now it becomes a, okay. V'loi choshin klal l'chvoid ha-shulchan me'ataymo. T'havi sh'loi kishas achila. So first of all, you'll tell me, because they're not eating on the table. Okay, well, that shouldn't make a difference either. And most of us are not sitting on the table while we're eating. Right? Unless you have that guy who doesn't want to stand while he eats. There's no seats. So he decides he doesn't want to eat standing, so he'll sit. Where's he going to sit? He sits on the table. He takes, puts our two shurim together and decides that he should sit on the table. Maybe she's on the floor. So he writes, no, the shani hasam they could tzarech b'davar. The chol sheyesh tzarech b'davar lo yimachmirin a bit. Whenever there's a need, whenever there's a justification of sitting on the table, then it's mutter. Right, that means if there's no room on the table and you need someone to sit, there's no room around the table. Right, exactly. That's your side. V'hai da'ai taimash ha'poisim kasru lishta da'ashok la'mizbech ha'inu rak k'doyme. It's only because it's similar to a mizbech. The Einoi Mizbeach Mamash. It is not actually a Mizbeach, which is funny because we've proved earlier from the Ramah and from the Magen Avraham that we do take it as a pretty similar a similarity to Halacha L'maaseh. But here he's saying, you know, don't be so literal. It's only Doimeh. So he says over here, just like we have a famous Gemara, Kol HaKoyes HaRei Ka'ovid Avodizar. You tell me every guy who lost his cool is an Ovid Avodizar. It's keh. It's like, but not Mamash like an Ovid Avodizar. So I was thinking maybe perhaps the minig of not sitting on the tables is binding for a totally different reason, right? Because the Be'er Moshe has a tshuva over here where he talks. He says a great yisoid. The Debetziner. He writes Hashavti dash komash noshim zekenis tzitkanis emeris sheminiku. Anything that are alta babas, good religious women of previous generations, got to show this to all the women. Heim bechlal minig Yisrael Torah. That becomes binding. So if your grandmother and your mother told you not to sit on the table, shoin. That's it. It becomes Allah. Whether yet doim mizbeach, not doim mizbeach, all the sick, it doesn't matter. Your grandmother told you can't do it, you can't do it. He says, Ki yadum tshuvas harashba. There's a tshuvas harashba like that. The tshuvas harashba says anything that has a yisoid in minog, something that has a tradition in Klai Yisrael, it becomes binding. Whether it has a good source, not such a great source, you understand, it becomes binding. Same thing with Asha, I didn't photocopy it. Different shit, maybe one day we'll talk about it. Debertina talks about the famous practice everyone here, I'm sure, heard of. If you're laying down and someone steps over you, they have to step back over you or you're going to shrink. Right, so that's not brought down anywhere. It is a Baba Mice. Bazak the Debatina Baba Mices, which means stories from your Baba, your grandmother, are binding. That was the whole truth over here. He goes, so the Hungarians are very makman on this. You just know the Hungarians, this they take to the umpteenth degree. Yeah? This is like the Debatina is a Hungarian. By the Hungarians, this is sacred. The Litvishers, you kind of roll the rice in this type of stuff. But the Debatina, if our grandmothers told us you can't do this, that's it. You can't do it. So this is what he's. Some people might say it's a little bit that type of stuff, but they have. Yeah, they have all these knetschlachs over here that unbelievable. So let's see how much further we're going to take this shulchan mizbeach. Another stick from the Zelbustin. Dr. Zelbustin, the Echo Shematzini says she's all my cover that Shokhan Mehata Yeshush. Another question. Anyone ever think about this? Where do you put the chairs when you clean the floor?
Top
of the table.
Ooh.
Right, but it's turned over the seat like that. So Dr. Zelbustin, he works it out. He writes, Kishishoitvin, that's how it's when you clean the floor. Maybe this is a new car not to clean the floor. So next time your wife asks you to clean the floor, I'm sorry, I can't. It's a shayla from where I put the tables, where I put the chairs. Pater from washing the floor. Okay. So say, forget it. Just don't wash the floor. I'll wash the floor. You leave. Okay. That's the way you get out of the washing the table. That's how you get out of washing the floor. So Zogtim Zobishli, Me'ata Yesh Lushal. Kishishoitim, that's how it's when you wash the floor. Ha'im Roila Lanechsa Kisoyis Al Shochan. It's not right to put the chairs on the table. Mishum Shal Shochan Lem Mizbech. Veneer, he says, depends. Shakisa Hula Dovish Abazoyim. If you just flip and the cushion goes on the table, it's not such an the cushion is not such an embarrassing thing. Right? You'll have to put things on tables. You'll have to store things on your table. So you can put that on the table also. It's not so fast. What happens if you put it? You ever see those people who put it down like this? They put the chair with the legs on top of it. A chair like this, we can't do it that way. So you got to put the whole chair on top. So the legs which sit on the floor are now resting on top of the table. Showing there's a bazaar of Shulchan Daim Lum is back. Right? The feet are very dirty. They touch the dirt and the dust. The same way you can't kill a bug on the table. Make sure when you put the chair on the table, make sure you put a cushion side and not a leg side first. Then in the next piece he writes, will the Indian Meiser Isi Besefer Keshachar Oirech, Sheriff Aaron, somebody show after Steinemann. They asked him, Steinemann, what do you do with this chair table situation? Said of Steinemann, it's not the Mizbech. Kloimer, you wouldn't put a chair on top of the Mizbech. Said of Steinemann, not so fast. Shulchan dem Mizbech means when you treat your table with Kedusha, you have guests. Four people at your table. You use your table for meetings of dealing with, you know, klal stuff. If you never invite orchim to your table, what type of mizbech is that? That's because you and your family eat it. Very nice, beautiful. But he says the mizbech is really supposed to be used for doing good things, for aniyim or for other, you know, religious type of activity. Now most of us use our tables for, you know, we'll learn on them and things like that. So that would probably, you know, build it up to be a little bit more Kaddish. That, unfortunately, you see people that are not so machmir. They'll put jackets on the bima. Again, even, I guess you can claim that, put the tissue box on the bima. So that you tell me, people need a tissue. Maybe you should put it somewhere else. Maybe the bima is not the place for, the you know, depositing the tissue boxes or the other things. I heard this from my brother-in-law, Abraham Kanevsky, Shadov Mutter. It's not a problem with the chairs. Ochel Maisa concludes. Let's say you have a table that you do a lot of learning on. Tables in shuls, tables in yeshivas, or eating for people that are toiling and learning. If the chair, the legs of the chair are dirty, is going to dirty the table. You shouldn't do that because the table has kedusha. This is a table that's used for learning. This is a table predominantly used for things like that. You should be more careful. So like tables and shuls and yeshiva should be a little bit more careful with this issue. If you take a look,
doesn't make a difference whether the table from yeshiva is from the dining room or from the bais medrash.
Again, he writes both. If it's used for learning or if it's used for amoli b'toyer eating from it, throws in both. That's a dining room in yeshiva. Amoli b'toyer eat there. Hope so. Unless the guys were just there for shidduchim purposes, but using the bachim adet to learn Torah. So most of our dining, again, I don't know what people do in their house, but a lot of us use our dining tables for learning. We learn at our dining tables, we eat our Shabbos meals, so that would give it a more significant level of kedusha. If you take a look at the Mishnah Berurah over here, he writes, he says, "Umitzvah al kol adam lomay Torah al shulchanim. Everyone should learn Torah at their table. Shekol shulchan shli amrul of divrei Torah. Any table that does not have Torah on it, ki'ilu oichle mezivchei mesim. As if you ate from mezivchei mesim. The kasa b'shlo daye mishnah ay halacha ay agada ay sifri moser. That's all fine. Any form of learning. The ene yoytz b'mashem v'varch b'chas amazim." Mm-hmm. Benching doesn't count. It's got to be some learning. You don't have to give a shiklali at your dining room table, but there's some learning. Some divrei Torah should be recited. That's why a lot of people have a minute at the Shabbos meal. There's divrei Torah, right? That's why a lot of they want to, you know, bring up the chashivas of the table. Okay. If you take a look at the Magen Avraham number 24, the Magen Avraham quotes from the Arizal. That is one of the reasons. That's correct. To make sure, even though Mr. Bruce says, and he says, right. He says, "V'akuponim yomer is a mizmor." That's why we say, well, it's some form of a mizmor to be mekayim Torah at the meal. That might be one of the reasons. That's one reason why we sing the mirrors. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. If you take a look in the Magen Avraham, he quotes an Arizal over here. Ha'ari hikvin mo'od la'echol al shulchan shel arba regal. He wanted a table that had four legs. Dugmas shulchan hamikdash.
Bases are out.
I don't know if he means bases versus how many legs. Yeah. I guess
no.
Some
have bases and some have four legs.
Yeah, so he's
been
that
business, right?
The Arizal held four legs. Okay. I know, I'm very excited. If we take a look at the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch over here, he writes, he says, "V'gam ha'shulcha marich yomav shel adam." How does your table give you marich yomav? U'mechap ravino. So that was the first Gemara we started off with. The Gemara says that your table gives you kapara. How on earth did your table give you kapara? It says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. When you bring an orchim, that's what really what Zelbushtin was saying. If you don't bring an orchim, your table is not worth too much. So, b'kitz and imrats, whether or not it's a halacha that shulchan is better, it's not so simple. It is definitely not so simple. But again, I think being that our grandmothers and mothers have told it to us, that's really the story. You got to do it anyways. Okay, Baruch Hashem, we have the ability to get through one topic. And Mitzvah Hashem, next week, I want to start a new series that should take us at least 2 or 3 weeks. I want to talk about shatnez. Shatnez and Mitzvah Shem I want to talk about. So that should keep us busy for a little bit. And then we have some other goodies to get to Mitzvah Shem in the subsequent weeks, but we'll take it 1 week at a time. Mitzvah Shem, next week, way, we'll have Akdom with the Shatnez.
Great story with not the green blast. Oh. You know, Rabbi, with the child about former Chavul of Abetha, with the Goyim B'nei Bra.
Oh, yeah. Yes. With the Chazanish.